I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews, to the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 8 this morning. I'm going to take a break this week from our series in 1 Samuel to preach a message specifically for our Oaxaca mission team. We've now prayed for them and are sending them on a one-week ministry trip starting on Friday. I met with the missions team a few weeks ago and got to do their devotions with them. And I picked this passage, Hebrews 13. It was actually the passage I had just preached at the nursing home up at Windy Hill. And I picked Hebrews 13, 1 through 8. Want to know why? About 4 years ago, we took a survey of the congregation. And we asked you all what your favorite or most precious promise was from God's Word. Which of God's promises is your favorite or most precious promise? And we got a lot of responses back. And a significant number of you put phrases from this passage on your survey sheet. Specifically this phrase, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." So that's today's message title. Never. 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 Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That's the promise that I gave our OMT, our Oaxaca mission team, during their devotions. And it's a promise not just for them, but for all of us, right? Whether we're going to Mexico or not. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Do you need to hear that this morning? I hope so, because I'm going to talk about it. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray for your enablement and that we would hear you speak to us as we open up your word. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Did you ever get separated from your parents and get lost when you're a kid? I remember when I was little, I was following my mom, who was wearing a certain dress. Now, I remember it as a gray woolen dress. I don't know if it really was. But I was following her as she went shopping through the mall. This is the mall in Mansfield, Ohio, okay, which seemed really big to me when I was small. Now it's like, that's a mall, okay? But then it was really big. I was small. I was following my mom through the mall, woolen, gray woolen dress. But being Captain Observant, that's a name that my wife sometimes tags me with, being Captain Observant, I had not realized I was following some other lady wearing a gray woolen dress. And when I did realize it, I realized I was lost and alone. Did you ever do that? By the way, she found me, okay? In case you're worried. I wasn't raised by the people in the mall or something like that. Did you ever feel that way? Lost? Alone? Abandoned? Adrift by yourself? Hear this word from God. It's verse 5, and the writer of the Hebrews is quoting Deuteronomy 31:6. So you catch that? This New Testament writer is quoting Old Testament Scripture, applying it to his readers and to us. And he says, God said it. Verse 5. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Never left. Never forsaken. Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that a precious promise? Notice he says that God said it. It's not just out there. It's not just words. It's a message from God. Never left. Never forsaken. Okay, you can go home now. That's all I have to say. If we get this into our minds and our hearts, it will change everything. Never left. Never forsaken. I don't know how many times I repeated that to the OMT. I want them to think when they're on the plane, some of them have never flown commercially before, and they're flying internationally on their first day flying. I want them to think, God is here. Never left. Never forsaken. Because of this promise, we know we're never alone. It may feel like it at times, but we never are. How comforting that is. How encouraging. How confidence building. Never alone. One time I deserted my daughter Robin. I didn't mean to. She was really little back when we had four, count them, four car seats, and none of them could unbuckle themselves. And we went to the Phillipsburg Library. This was back when the library was on Pine Street in Phillipsburg. We unbuckled everybody, or so I thought. We got everyone across the road and went into the library. You see where this story's going. Mommy and the boys went to the children's section. I carried little Isaac in his car seat to the children's section, plopped him down, and then I went up and down the adult stacks looking for something to read. And then I circled back and I counted my children like I normally do. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Honey, where's Robin? Where's Robin? Oh, no. I run back out across the street, open the van door, and there's my little girl bawling her eyes out. She'd been left alone in her car seat, buckled in, forsaken, deserted, and it hurt. I apologize that I'm still apologizing for that. I scooped her up into my arms, and I carried her into the library, and just about never left her side the rest of the day. Listen, God is a much better daddy than I am. Never will I leave you. Never will I. Sometimes it'll feel like it. This promise does not mean that we will have victory in every endeavor. It means God's presence. It means that God will be with us no matter what happens. Never left, never forsaken, never alone. There once was a monk called Brother Lawrence. And Brother Lawrence wrote a short little book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And the whole point of his book was to remind yourself daily and hourly and minutely that the Lord is here. Right here. My best friend in college, Kip Wilson, used to write on post-it notes, God is here. And he'd post them around his office and at the grad school where he worked. God is here. Little post-it note. God is here. Little reminder. Open the fridge. God is here. What can you do to remind yourself of this promise? Now, listen, you don't have to do anything for it to be true. It's true as it is. This promise is not contingent on you or me at all. It just is. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. But what can you and I do to remind ourselves of that? Everybody on the OMT already knew this. Nobody was like, oh, really? God's going to be with us? You know, that's new information. No, it's not new information. But we need reminders, don't we? I just preached on this truth back in the last Sunday of last year, Psalm 139, where we got our hide the word verse. Search me, right? God is everywhere. Where can I go? Where can I flee? But you're there. We need reminders. How confidence building that is. That's what the author says next in the very next verse, verse 6. So, we say with confidence, because He never leaves us, never forsakes us, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what can man do to me? Now there's another great and precious promise. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Never leaving, never forsaken, and active on my behalf. Do you see that? It's not just that He's here. We could say that the ground is always here, but that doesn't always mean so much. You might have a crazy uncle that's always at the family reunions. Well, he's here, but it doesn't amount to very much. But that's not how God is here. He's here to help. The Lord is my helper. Now that's an amazing statement. If we don't understand that's an amazing statement, that's an amazing statement, especially considering the religions of the world. Okay? We have a God who is a helper. See, God is not here asking for help. God is offering help. Our God is a helper. He serves us. Now, don't get me wrong. He stays God. We remain His servants. The OMT is going to Mexico to serve the Lord. We submit to Him and not the other way around. But He calls Himself our helper because that's what He does. He helps us. He assists us. He supports us. He brings us help. This verse is also a quote from the Old Testament. So the author of Hebrews is pulling from the Old Testament into the New Testament this verse, Psalm 118, verses 6 and 7. And there God calls Himself a helper. Here's the application of that. I know I can do hard things. I know that I can do hard things. Why did I say that? This is a passage about God's presence. Why am I now talking about hard things? Because that's the point of Hebrews 13. That's why the writer hands out these great and precious promises. To tell us that God will help us. He's our helper. To do difficult, hard things. He's not just present so that we feel good all the time. Oh, God's present. Yay! He's present to enable us to do the things He calls us to do. Like, verse 1, loving the brothers. Look at verse 1. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Well, that's not always easy, is it? We can, as Christians, we can be difficult to love sometimes. I'll bet that some of our OMT members will have to remind themselves of this verse at some point in the next 2 weeks. Keep on loving each other as brothers. I shared a room once with John Forsey. He snores. You guys might be getting on each other's nerves. Keep on loving each other as brothers. And I don't mean as brothers like the way brothers love each other, an elbow and a poke, but as in nobody messes with my brother, right? How are you going to do that? He's my helper. He never left. He never forsakes. He's here to help me. Or number 2, entertaining strangers. Verse 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, by entertain, it means to show hospitality, not to put on a show. You don't have to find a stranger and do a song and a dance. It means showing hospitality to strangers. Our OMT is going to meet a lot of strangers in the next 2 weeks. And most of them will not even share their own language. But you can do it. You can show love to strangers because the Lord is your helper. And He'll be there to do it. Or verse 3, visiting prisoners. It's getting harder here, isn't it? Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. That's really hard to do sometimes. But the Lord is your helper. Or verse 4, honoring marriage. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed be kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. You can do that. The Lord is your helper. No premarital sex. No living together before marriage. No adultery in marriage. No pornography defiling the marriage bed. Marriage can be honored. Is that hard to do? Is it harder to do today? Who's your helper? Verse 5, being content with what I have. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, there it is, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. For most of us, if we have that verse memorized, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, we don't have the first part of the verse memorized. The first part of the verse says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. We like, okay, well, that sounds... But I like that God's with me part. You see how they're intimately connected? Is it hard to be content with what you have? Just nod your head. Yeah, but God is present. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. And He is enough. Because the Lord is my helper, you know that you can do hard things. You can take risks. You can hop a plane even if you never have before. You can go someplace where they don't speak your language. You can look poverty in the face. Or if you're called to stay behind, you can pray and wait and support those who are going. You know, nearly, if not every time a promise appears in Scripture, there's a command nearby, and vice versa. Because the commands of God are promise-driven by the great and precious promises of God. We can do hard things because God is present, never leaving, never forsaking, offering to help. What hard things is God calling you to do? What hard things is God calling you to do? And now I'm not talking just to the OMT. What hard things is God calling you to do? Verse 7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Maybe the hard thing for you is following church leaders. Or maybe it's something completely different. Maybe it's telling someone about Jesus. Not in Mexico, but in Pennsylvania. Does that scare you? Who is your helper? Verse 6, what can man do to me? One last promise, and then we're done. And I can go home and take a nap. Verse 8, Jesus Christ never changes. Jesus Christ never changes. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's not going to change. Jesus is not moody and capricious. He is not a fair-weather friend. Jesus is, the theologian word is, immutable. That's a big word that means unchanging. Jesus stays the same. And because of that, I know that I don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry that Jesus will be here today and gone tomorrow. You know, everything else in life changes. Just live a little bit and you'll see that everything changes. Even the things you try to keep the same, they don't stay the same. Things fall apart. Entropy, right? But Jesus is not affected by entropy. Jesus stays the same. We don't have to worry that He'll fade away. It might seem at times like He's nowhere near. It might seem like He's a daddy leaving us alone, strapped in our car seat in the van. But no, that's not how it is. He's right here. Jesus is with us right here through His Holy Spirit. And He's not going anywhere. One more thought. These promises are only good for believers in and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not yet a follower of Christ by faith, then you can't take these promises for you. Yes, God is here, but that's not necessarily good news for you. God is present in hell as well. He's present there only to punish. These promises are only good news for those who belong to Jesus. Jesus knows what it means to be forsaken because He was forsaken for us. We said it last week. On the cross, He cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. What does that mean? My God, why have You forsaken me? And even though He knew the answer, He was living the question. The answer was, for you and for me. Jesus was forsaken so that you and I will never, never be. So receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that unchanging Savior says, never, never. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.